Let's kick off a new message series today, and it's called Living Under Influence, which is a bit weird, maybe. You may be reminded of driving under influence, which is, when you've drunk too much, you're driving, or being under the influence of, several things, drugs or alcohol, but our life is supposed to be very different than that. We're supposed to be living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that's really the theme of this message series. We're going to discover more about what the Holy Spirit does in the lives of believers, or supposed to be doing, or what we may not always give him access to do. We're all called to live a life full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're all called to live a life full of the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that passionate spirituality is not supposed to be, the odd one out, but it's supposed to be for all of us, for every Christian. It's supposed to be the norm. Too many Christians stay uninformed about the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We understand the Father. We get that. We get God and creation and all of that. We get Jesus Christ, the Son of God, even though it's hard to understand that he was 100% God and 100% man. That's like, it doesn't work mathematically. But still, we choose to kind of believe it and understand. But the Holy Spirit seems such a... We find it hard to understand the person of the Holy Spirit sometimes, even though he's completely, fully part of the triune God, the Trinity, the three-in-one God that we believe in. And that's too bad, because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can all be effective Christians, that we can live a life of holiness, of fruitfulness, of power, that we can truly be an ambassador of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit plays an essential role in every part of our Christian life. He is the one that leads us to conversion. It's only by the Spirit that we can say that Jesus is Lord. He guides us in our prayers. He helps us to understand the Bible. He changes us from the inside out to live more like Jesus. He empowers our testimony. He empowers our ministry through supernatural gifts. Really, there is no Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're going to kind of unfold that in the next 6 weeks, including this one, to really understand what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit and how we can be filled and continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm excited. I hope you are as well. Maybe you're a little bit like, oh, I knew this was a evangelical Pentecostal type of church. I don't know what we're getting into now. Just... it's going to be great. It's going to be so good for you. Really, really. Are you ready? Are you excited? Okay, good, 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 good. All right. Just want to build up a little bit of tension. Today we're going to speak about the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of freedom. Because today, again, is our Liberation Day. It's where we celebrate that we... how long is it going to... 74 years ago, we were liberated from Nazi Germany, and we're no longer under occupation. And so we celebrate the freedom that we have. We understand that it's not... that we can live here in freedom, that we can gather here as Christians in freedom, knowing that so many around the world are not able to live in freedom, to live under oppression or to live under persecution. And so we want to celebrate that we can live in freedom, because so many are not able to. Many places, the freedom is limited through slavery or censorship, occupation, oppression, in whatever way. And we are thankful that we can live in a free country. Yet, what I want to say about freedom is that in the time that we live in and in the world, the Western world that we all live in, the approach to freedom has changed. Freedom itself is being idolized. Freedom itself is being worshipped. There's this radical individualistic approach to the concept of freedom, where we turn this human right to live in freedom into sort of a mantra saying, do whatever you want, be whoever you want to be, live however you want to live, embrace this freedom, celebrate this freedom, go all out with your freedom, live limitless. In fact, I think this freedom without any limitation has led to people living destructive lives. We see freedom is seen as this freedom without limitations is seen as the way to true happiness. When you do everything that comes up in your heart, when you live all out and just do everything your heart tells you to do, this is the way to true happiness and fulfillment. That's not true. It's leading people to live destructive lives that all end up looking the same way. You know, sin around the world, however different our approaches to politics may be, however different our race may be or our cultural background may be, in the end, through sin, we can all end up looking the same in sexual immorality, in addiction, in selfishness, in self-righteousness. Sin makes us all look the same. Idolized freedom becomes slavery because we have to do, we're bound to do what our heart tells us to do. But I believe that Christ has truly set us free, not to do whatever we want, but to live the way that he has created us to be. Galatians 5 verse 1 says, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. This is a completed past. He has set us free. We are already liberated. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. In Jesus, there is this new reality. We are set free. The grace of Jesus Christ has set us free from sin to live a life of freedom. But Paul warns us, don't then turn back to that life of slavery. Paul's saying we have been liberated. We were held bound with these two chains. One was the chain of the law, saying that you're never good enough. You're never going to make it. You're never going to be able to please God. And it held us bound, the law and the condemnation. The other chain that was holding us was the slavery to sin. You have to do whatever your heart tells you to do. It gives this sinful nature, or the flesh, which is a better translation in the New Testament, held us bound to sin and became slaves to sin. But Christ has set us free from both of these chains to live a life of freedom. And Paul is saying, don't then go back to one of those yokes. Don't go back to these chains. You are supposed to live a life in freedom. Christ has broken the chains when he died and rose from the grave. He has set us free, not so that we could do whatever the heck we want, but to live a life through the freedom and through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul continues, So I say, walk with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So you're liberated from those desires that keep on demanding that you do whatever they tell you to do. No, we walk by the Spirit. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So we have been set free from that, from both the law and from slavery to sin. Free from that condemnation, also free to be bound whatever your heart tells you to do. When you walk with the Spirit, when you walk in step with the Holy Spirit, you can be truly free. Freedom is not doing whatever you want, but the ability to do what is right and the ability to walk away from what you know is wrong. And so Paul describes this whole thing in terms of conflict, in terms of war, in terms of a battle. And that battle is still going on within us sometimes. You know, something happens. Do I respond in love or do I respond in anger? Do I respond in faith or do I respond in rebellion? Do I respond in fear or with trust or with bitterness? Or will I choose forgiveness? Christ has come to give us victory in this battle. And that's a difference for us as we are children of God. This battle is still going on. The flesh did not disappear, but we have been changed by the Holy Spirit, so he will get the upper hand. We can approach this battle. It's still a battle, but we can approach this battle from a place of victory. You can approach the battle from a place of victory. Not in my power, I can't, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, I can. And just to paint a contrast, Paul goes on in Galatians 5 to describe first the fruit of the flesh, basically, and then the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have to go through this for a little bit, but it's going to be okay. So first, the fruit of the flesh. What is that? What is the flesh or the sinful nature or the desires? What do they lead us into? Paul says it's clear. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. When we follow every urge and every desire that pops up in our hearts, those things are the end result. They are destructive. And we exchange temporary pleasure for wisdom. We end up hurting ourselves and others. As I said before, sin makes people around the world look exactly the same, whatever their political preferences or whatever their cultural background is. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. These are all sins that come forth from prioritizing the self, self-justification, self-centeredness, wanting to control the future, wanting for yourself what belongs to someone else. Just a quick question. Does this sound like slavery or does this sound like freedom? This sounds like slavery. This sounds like bondage. I warn you, Paul says, and this is interesting, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. The radical individualistic approach to freedom, this group of continuing progression, continuing like setting the boundaries further and further to what freedom means and to how far we can go. This postmodern idea of what freedom means. Their idea is that if we all get on board with this. And if we're all just like love each other and be nice to each other, we'll end up with utopia. We'll end up with the world that is a better place. So we can all if everyone is just living without limitations, and you know, because essentially we're all good people anyway. And if we just love each other, then we'll end up with utopia. And you'll hear people say like, "A better world is possible if we all just love each other." And the crowd goes, "Woo, yeah!" And it sounds true. I mean, you know, the world is going to be a better place if we all just love each other. But we will not be able to reach this without Christ on the throne. We will not be able to reach this by our own power, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit, Him changing all of us from the inside out. We cannot have the kingdom of God without the King. It can only happen when Christ is on the throne. There's no true freedom without the Holy Spirit. Before I continue with the Galatians passage, I just want to turn to another letter that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He says this, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil, I'm going to explain what that means, is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is true freedom. Paul's using this Old Testament image of that veil, referring to Moses when he came down from the mountain where he met with the Lord and received the law and the stone tablets and all of that. And he was face to face with God. He came back. He didn't know, but everyone was like, what happened to you? What happened to you? His face was so radiant from standing in the presence of God, that reflection blinded people's eyes, and so he had to wear a veil over his head until that kind of faded. And the veil is basically Paul saying it's the veil that was needed for the people that didn't understand, that didn't truly see, that didn't truly understand who God was. And he's referring to that veil as whatever limits our understanding, whatever blinds us from who God truly is. But then he says the Holy Spirit lifts that veil. Whenever we enter into the presence of God, that veil is lifted, And then he goes on today, so all of us, we have that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord in the same way as Moses did. We can see who God truly is, and through that seeing, reflect to the rest of the world who he is and what he has done. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to truly see who God is, so we can enter into his presence, we can meet him face to face, we can worship him in spirit and in truth, we can live in relationship with him, and through that, start reflecting the glory of the Lord. When we meet God, so it's this idea of, if you want to reflect the glory of God more, then enter into his presence, come closer to him. The Lord who is spirit, the passage continues, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So the more and more we get to see God and understand who God truly is, the more we meet with him, the more we'll be changed from the inside out to reflect him. Ultimately, this life of freedom is a life of holiness. And it's funny, even in the church, when we talk about holiness, we think, oh yeah, holiness. It's a bit of a strange word, or it's a bit of a, I would say, a tainted word. Like holiness sounds a bit like, oh yeah, holier than thou, or holiness like we will never be able to achieve holiness. It's like out of the question. Like holiness is only for some people. Yet a life of holiness is that life of freedom that the Spirit is leading us to. So I want to share. It's basically where I'm gonna. Break it down to where I'm gonna wrap this message up is three truths about holiness. It's not my first language, it's okay, but for most of us it isn't. Not looking for confirmation and compliments. That's fine. That's okay. I'm okay. just sometimes. It just doesn't work with the language. Three things we need to understand about holiness. First of all, holiness is a work of the Holy Spirit in us. Essential to understand. Holiness is a work of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit helps us to read and to interpret Scripture, to pray, to listen. He starts to... Like we sang this song, like from the inside out, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He starts to change us from the inside out to look more like Jesus. That we are able to reflect the glory of God to this broken world. And in too many Christian contexts, in too many books, in too many sermons, in too many places, holiness is perceived as something that we... can only get by a strong will. It's seen as something that you can achieve by the will, through discipline, through willing it enough, through the strong determination to live holy and to rid yourself of all unrighteousness. And even though there's, of course, a lot of truth in that, without discipline, you can't be fruitful. You can't live a holy life. It is our will definitely plays part in this. And I always say, junk in, junk out. So if you feed yourselves with the wrong books and TV series and friends and places, then you're gonna end up with the fruit of all that. So definitely, discipline plays a big part of this. In this, but the mistake I think a lot of people make is that we approach holiness solely, only as a result of the will. But holiness without the Holy Spirit is striving, is turning back to the yoke of slavery, of being under the law, because we will never in our own strength be able to achieve anything that looks like holiness. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. It's for freedom that we are set free. Romans 8, Christ lives within you through his Holy Spirit. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. You have been made right with God. You don't have to achieve a level of holiness in order to be right with God. You have been made right with God through grace. Just as a quick reminder. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do, what the flesh urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. How do we do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through a very strong will and determination and all of that. These will be empowered through the Holy Spirit. We cannot achieve anything that looks like holiness without the Holy Spirit. It's only through him that we can break away from the burden of the law, from the slavery to sin, to be formed to the image of Christ. Did I go too fast? I'm sorry, I hear sometimes that I go too fast when I'm excited. Secondly, holiness is not loftiness. You know what it is? This sort of prideful, arrogant approach to holier-than-thou type of thing, you know? And it's, so we know this Christian context with these people that, you know, walk chin up because they live such holy lives. And then we look at them, we're like, I will never be able to achieve that type of holiness. And I wonder if I want to, you know? But there's a very subtle way that this kind of loftiness approach to holiness still creeps in. So that's the obvious, you know, the church you don't want to be in with the holy people that judge you for, I don't know, watching football. Ajax. You're not with me on the whole Ajax thing? Just, I'm going to go back to, you know, the area where I came from. There, at least we got some support for Ajax. Okay, so here's the subtle way that this happens, is that we somehow subconsciously believe that we need to live holy lives so that other people will kind of fall face down in the presence of God when they see our righteousness. It's that approach that I need to live a holy life so that they will know. Can I just ask you to do yourself a favor and kind of lose that pressure of yourself? People are not going to believe in Christ because of your righteousness, because of your holiness. They are not going to. Yeah, yes, we can all be a very bad testimony when we live unholy lives, when our lives don't look anything like what we're saying. But it's a bit of a prideful approach that we think that through our righteous living, other people may come to know who God is. That again is a work of the Holy Spirit. Here's my approach to this whole thing. The Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than you. The Holy Spirit makes me better than me. That's the only testimony that you need. People will see a change that happens within you, but you don't have to live better lives than them. That's not what's going to convince them. Because there's people that live without God, without the Holy Spirit, that do better things for the world than you and me. But we don't have to kind of outstrive them to convince the world. That's not what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit makes me better than me. That's the testimony that I need. That's the testimony that we all need. Hope that helped you. Thirdly, holiness is more about what you do than about what you don't do. So we've gone through that list in Galatians 5 with all the sins that Paul puts in this big list. And we're like, you know, holiness is not about walking away from those things only. It helps. But we shouldn't only walk away from some things. We should also walk towards something else. The Holy Spirit is guiding us towards a life that looks more like Jesus. And that's what he's going to describe in the next couple of verses. I love these verses. They're fantastic. I memorized them in a youth camp one day. They told us, is it, you have 5 minutes to memorize Galatians 5 verse 22. And if not, you have to do 20 push-ups. So I just like, that's why I'm so skinny, you know, because it just, whoever is not strong should be smart. So here we go. Galatians 5 verse 22 to 25. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. First of all, love. I'm just going to comment on all these words. Love. This attitude of love. This unconditional love that is not depending on our circumstances or on our emotions or on the behavior of other people, but just it's this love that is being birthed within us through the Holy Spirit. The love that, did you see those pastors from Sri Lanka that on video forgave the attackers? That type of love, that type of forgiveness, that type of heart attitude of love, that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy. This is not just happiness. Again, happiness depends on circumstances. But joy is something that God birthed within us. This true joy, this joy beyond understanding, whatever may happen. It's based on the truth of God, not on you know, the momentary situation of our lives. Peace, same thing. Not depending on circumstance, but the inner status of the soul that knows that God is ultimately in control, whatever happens. And so it's these three things that the Holy Spirit works deep within us, where we can reflect the character of God. And this then changes the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. And that comes out in the next six characteristics of a Christian life. The fruit of the Spirit, patience. You know, not having a short fuse, but love and respect the tempo of others and the choices of others. Kindness. You know, you and I, we're called to be kind, not just mental. Just a quick reminder. Goodness. The Spirit changes our hearts to naturally want good things for ourselves, for others, even when they don't deserve it. Faithfulness. Through the Holy Spirit, we can have this unshakable faith, and we can be the voice of hope in the lives of others. Gentleness. You know, our society is becoming so harsh sometimes. We need some gentleness. We need some kindness. Lastly, self-control. You know, our emotions don't have to have the upper hand in our speaking and in our acting. Self-control. The Holy Spirit will guide us in every decision, in every situation, in every argument, in every rough patch that we go through self-control. We can have control over our behavior and over our emotions through the Holy Spirit. So over all these things, there's no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Amen.